Amen, amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, please. Thank you, holders. Mark 16, if you will. The end of the last chapter of the second gospel. Mark chapter 16. And to save a little time, because we're going to kind of look at this whole chapter here, I'm going to give you point one, and then we're going to read a large portion of this chapter. So let's pray first. Appreciate you being here tonight. God bless you for coming back. A lot of folks will scatter all over the place on Easter Sunday night, and I don't know. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes I feel like I don't want to be like Thomas, who the first Sunday night after resurrection, he didn't go to church and he missed it. And Jesus showed up, and he wasn't there, and he wouldn't believe everybody else that Jesus showed up, because he wasn't there. And so anyway, I'm glad you're here. I don't know if you, I don't want to miss anything. I was telling someone before the church here, before church tonight here, you know, we mentioned this morning that to him much is forgiven, loveth much, like we talked about this morning. And the fact is, we've all had much forgiven. And if you really think about it, we've all had much forgiven. And the fact is, we realize how much we're forgiven. We want to be the last ones to leave, the first ones to come. We want to be there. Don't want to miss it. I believe that with all my heart. Because not only can he forgive our sin, he can give us a new life. And I want everything I can get. Maybe I'm selfish, but I don't want to miss out on any of it. I want to see all the blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your blessings. We thank you for a great day you've given us. So, Lord, I want to have a little thought here I want to give us this evening. And, Lord, these folks came. Man, I think about folks who probably dropped some things with the family and so forth and spent some time on the road to get here this evening. And, Lord, I really want to be an encouragement. So, Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit to work in us. You put these words in here for a reason, and there's some things you want us to see. And, Lord, I want us to have a chance to take a look at them. So, Lord, open our eyes to your word, and our hearts we open to you as well, to your will. And we pray that you'll bless it. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. My message tonight is entitled, Do You Believe? Do you believe? And I want to ask you first tonight, do you believe in a new life of Christ? Look at Mark chapter 16, verse number 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, that means not only the Passover Sabbath, which was a high Sabbath that year, but the Friday night Sabbath that goes through Saturday night. When the Sabbath was passed, by the way, the Sabbath was done, finished, by Saturday night at 6 o'clock. So anything that happened, the Sabbath began Friday night. See, it goes night and morning was the first day in creation. That's the way they dealt with their days. Night comes first, day comes the second half. There was nothing, and then there was God. And that's how they see life. There's nothing, and then there was God. Now, we do the same thing. We've kind of messed up. See, again, because we think Monday's the first day of the week. Sunday's the first day of the week. God comes first. But anyway, so Saturday night at 6 o'clock actually becomes Sunday. It's the beginning of the first day of the week. So really, Jesus could have risen any time after 6 o'clock on Saturday night, and had been risen on the first day of the week. And so by the time they get there, it says, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices. When it says sweet spices, it's the idea of the smell sweet, aromatic, okay, that they might come and anoint him, Jesus. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre. By the way, that word sepulcher means a remembrance, a remembrance. It's not just a tomb. A tomb is where you hold dead people. But God uses the word sepulcher. It means to remember. I like that because, listen, that open grave is something to remember. That open tomb, there's a remembrance there. There's something to remember. Anyway, so they came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. Verse number 3. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? Now, you know what that means? At that point, they still assumed Jesus was dead. They still assumed he was dead. Who shall roll away the stone for the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Now, you've got to be careful how the grammar there, if that ever messed you up. It didn't roll away because the stone was big. All right? The phrase, for it was very great, really is attached to, grammatically, to the first part there of verse 3. And they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher, for it was very great. But they're throwing in the side there that, you know, because who shall roll away the stone of the door for the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Okay, so they kind of put that clause in there, just the way the grammar works there. Verse 5, and entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. That means they were astonished, utterly astounded. I mean, come on. What is this? And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold, look, behold the place where they laid him. And I like the word risen here. It's different than another one, than the word risen later. This word risen means to collect one faculties, to rouse up from ruin. In other words, Jesus isn't here. He's got it all together and he's gone. He's out of here. That's the idea. Listen, everything's back to normal. He's got it all together. He's gone. He's doing his thing. He's moved on. The next part of the gospel is coming here. And so he's saying he's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Verse 7. Go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. Now I want to remind you what I said this morning. He said in verse 7 and verse 6, he says, he's not here. Look at the place where they laid him. Now go your way. Get a good look. Know the tomb's empty. Look at the grave cloth. Just laying there like he just popped out of there. He's gone. Now the napkin's at the head and folded, but the rest of it's just like he just disappeared. He's gone. Behold that. Know that he's risen. Now go tell everybody. Verse 8, and they went out quickly and fled. Escaped. They ran away from the sepulcher, for they trembled. And in other words, that word trembler means trembling had kind of gotten a hold of them. I mean, they were really into some things here. And they were amazed, almost beside themselves there. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid, awestruck. Just kind of like, oh my soul. So at first, you know, just the thought of it all just amazed them. Now let me say, we're going to stop there a second. Sometimes we don't believe others have seen the power of God work if we have not seen the power of God ourselves. We want to doubt the fact that God did something in their life. Well, they have some other explanation for it. Must have been something. Must have been a coincidence. Now, here's the thing. Jesus had told them he would rise again. But the men didn't believe his words. They didn't remember his words. I'm going to read this for you. You can look, if you want to catch it, that's fine. But Matthew 20:17 says this. Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, of course this is before he was crucified, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priest and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. So he clearly told them what was going to happen. In Mark 9:31, it says this, for he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But Mark 9:32, the next verse says, but they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him. I remember thinking about that, and seeing that phrase. What do you mean they didn't understand what he said? He said, I'm going to go down there, they're going to kill me, and I'm going to rise the third day. Well, I don't understand. I'm going to go down there, they're going to kill me, and I'm going to rise again the third day. 3 days after I die, I'm going to rise again. I don't understand. I think some people go to the Bible like that. Well, that doesn't make sense, so that must not be what he meant. We try to make everything a figure. We try to figurative. No, he said, I'm going down there. They're going to kill me, and on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Huh? Now, that was the men. Now, ladies, don't be nice about this. The ladies did remember. In Luke chapter 24, it says this in verse 4. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, they're at the tomb, and they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And verse 8 says, and they remembered his words. You're right. That is what he said. Do you believe? Sometimes I don't think we believe because we don't know, or we weren't listening, and we're missing out on the promises. The fact is, if they really had listened hard to the fact that he says, you're going to die and rise again, when he died, that might have actually been a good sign, because they're going to say, what it's going to be like when he rises again. Boy, it sure looks bad, but he says he's going to rise again. Boy, isn't this going to be a wonderful thing? Isn't this going to be a great thing when he rises again? By the way, we ought to be just excited about his second coming. He's gone. We can't see him. I don't know where he is. I think he's all gone. But the fact is, he's going to come. It's going to be a great day. He's going to have victory. This is just true. Do you believe? Do you believe? Mark 16:9. Go back to our passage. Now, when Jesus was risen, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Now, hang real tight with me. It's not a long message here, but I want you to see some things very carefully. This is the last chapter of the book of Mark. I don't think that when God inspired his men to write the Bible, it was just kind of haphazard. I don't think they just kind of think, well, let's just kind of read this. God led them in what they were supposed to write down. Now, this last chapter has some things in here, and there's a theme I want you to see. It's there for a reason. He has given us 16 chapters to tell us the life of Christ. And now he's going to ask us, do you believe? Mark 16:9, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, disciples and so forth. And they mourned and wept. Now, if they had thought about what Jesus said, they were saying, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to happen, but he's going to be alive here, and today's the day. They mourned and they wept. Verse 11, and when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. I can't be right. Well, he told them what was going to happen. It went whoosh, whoosh, right through. I mean, sometimes you think you could have looked in one ear of the disciples and seen somebody out on the other side. They weren't listening, but we're like that too sometimes. We're not listening. He's talking, he's explaining, he's giving us truth, and we're not listening. They believed not. Look at verse 12. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them, Remember Road to Emmaus? Is what it's talking about. As they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, all the disciples. Neither believed they them. They should have believed what he told them in the first place. By the way, we have God's word in writing. Do we believe him? But someone experienced, someone had an encounter with the risen Christ. Oh, that's just foolishness. The ladies come back and it's just like they're idle tales. They're excited. Oh, you're just emotional. I've never experienced anything like that, so you can't either. Right? Oh, okay. You're one of those folks that's happy in Jesus. Idle tales. You know what? Sometimes Christians get a little bit like that. Sometimes I wonder if they're Christians. But anyway, they're Christians, and the church folks are getting, look at that. They're kind of, they're one of their happy Christians. You know, maybe they'll mature and get over it. I hope not. And then someone else shows up, and they've had an encounter with Christ. Well, yeah, okay. More of these. I mean, it's just been a long weekend. It's been a hard time. We've been through a lot. They're imagining things. It's just kind of tough. I think we're responsible for our unbelief. In fact, I think Jesus thinks we're responsible for our unbelief. Look at verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Jesus walks in, he upbraided. What's that mean? It didn't mean he put their hair up in these nice little, it didn't mean that's what he did. He chided, he railed, he defamed. You know what I think? I mean, we always think about Jesus being all pleasant, and I think he is. But he said, now listen, boys. What did I tell you? I told you what was going to happen. It happened just like I said it was going to happen. And the girls came back and told you guys. And you just shrugged it off. I went out with those folks down to Emmaus. And I revealed myself to them. And they come back and tell you. And you don't believe them either. Now, you know what I think? Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please him. It also says, if it's sight, it's no longer faith. You don't need faith if you can see it. He's telling us to learn. Listen, Jesus was going to ascend to go to heaven. What were we supposed to do? We're supposed to live by faith. So he's teaching a lesson. Listen, when I tell you something, I mean it. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I don't care how crazy it sounds. This doesn't sound like it. It makes no sense to you or not. The fact is, I can do it. And because I was even giving evidence of what I said was going to happen, and you still didn't believe me. We got a problem here, boys. How are you going to serve me? How are you going to live for me? How are you going to be able to take what the world's going to give you if you're not going to be willing to take my word on it? We like to come in these little walls here, and everything sounds good. Everything feels good. And then we walk out there, and the world hits us in the face, and we're afraid to stand for Jesus. We don't want to look like like some silly woman that's getting all emotional. That's what he's saying here. I'm not trying to be mean there. I'm better than that. No, you're stupid. You didn't listen to what Jesus said. Are we willing to believe in the new life that Christ will give us? He says, listen, it was because of your, he says, he chided them because with them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Now watch, that word hardness of heart is an interesting phrase. It means destitute of perception.
They just don't get it.
They just couldn't see it. It says, because they believed not them which has seen him after he was risen. Do you know why we're supposed to get together, not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is? Because we're supposed to provoke one another love and good works. We need a testimony. We need to hear somebody else to do what has worked for them. Look, listen, we went through all this thing here with each one, to win somebody to Christ. You know, the fact is we've had some folks already win some folks to Christ since then. And I'm not talking about just staff. I'm talking about other people. We just say, you know what? It can be done. God still saves souls. God still loves people. We got to believe he'll do it. Now, watch me. How could Jesus be justified in accusing the disciples for their unbelief if their unbelief was not their fault? Now think about that a second. Jesus, listen, so, well, you know, it's not my fault. This happened, I didn't have this. No. You have his word on it, that's all you need. If you say, well, I mean, it was a surprise. It's okay. I know you didn't. You didn't believe it. Why would you believe it? Because you know you didn't know it was going to happen. Yes, they did know. It was their choice to believe. If it wasn't their choice, then Jesus had no business upbraiding them for not believing. They had a hardness of heart. They just said, I don't know, it doesn't make sense, so I'm not going there. In John 20, 19, it says this, then the same day at evening, this is the first day, right after the resurrection, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Well, that's good. Now, this is another account. Of course, now he would have been upbraiding them right now. Why didn't you believe? It was a different gospel. No, hang on. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now watch me. He had talked to the ladies. He had talked to the folks at Emmaus. They had come back and talked to him. They didn't believe a thing. So then Jesus shows up. And of course, not all gospel gives all the things there. So he put them all together. Jesus shows up, says, here I am. Here, look, this is me. And they said, now guys, you should have believed when they told you. Because they were just telling you what I told you. Now you're going to have to go out here. And the fact is, what you do is going to make an eternal difference in the lives of people. Those you win to Christ will be led to Christ forever. They will have eternity. Those that you don't know Christ will be stuck. They'll be outcast from heaven for eternity. Now watch me. That same night, he says, verse 24, says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord, but he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Now, wait a minute. This is kind of funny if you think about this. The girls come back from the tomb. They tell the disciples, We just saw the risen Christ. Oh, you're foolish. Oh, come on, I'm not going to believe that. The folks come back from Emmaus and say, Hey, we've seen the risen Christ. Oh, come on, that's crazy. So finally, in the upper room, Jesus comes back and shows the disciples, Look, this is me. Oh, okay. But Thomas wasn't there. And so a week later, apparently sometime during this week, Thomas said, Well, I'm not going to believe until I see him myself. Oh, come on, why do you got to see him himself? Just like you guys. And again, so in other words, he's trying to help us remember, get the point here. We need to believe whether we see or not because you don't need the faith if you can see. We're going, listen, he said, you're going to go out there. I'm sending you out there. You better believe what you're saying. You better believe what's in your heart. You better make sure you've got this thing settled because you're going to have to face the world. Do you believe? And so disciples give Thomas a hard time for doing the same thing that they had just done. Man, isn't that something we do too? We finally reach a certain level. By the way, you never reach the pinnacle. We feel like we've reached some level, and we start looking down our nose at somebody else who's going through exactly what we just did last year. What's the matter with you? So we have a new life of Christ. Do you believe in a new life of Christ? That we have of Christ there. But wait a minute. Let me tell you something else. There's a new life in Christ. Something that's continuous. We go out and lead folks to Christ, and we're expecting them to believe in Jesus without seeing him. But the fact is, the Holy Spirit does work. Convicts the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. But then we turn right around, we have a hard time believing what God can do. There are folks who sit in church for all their lives just hoping, just kind of wishing that, I came to Christ thinking the world, that life is going to be a little different, but it never really got any different. Seems like it got different for a few folks, but I don't know. We've got to decide that there's a new life for us. Look at verse 15. Mark 16:15. Let me back up. In fact, let me back up here a little bit. Let me back up to 11. Let me work my way up here. Mark 16:11. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, Mary Magdalene, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You put all those gospels together, he says, Now listen, folks, you better believe me. Because you're going to have to face this whole world out here. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. He says, Now listen, you want folks out there to believe. How are they going to believe if you don't believe? He says, Listen, those that believe enough that they're willing to take a stand for Christ, baptism, Because listen, if you got baptized, the Jews would have a funeral for you. The family would have a funeral because you're dead to them. You were taken, in fact, you might be taking your life into your own hands to get baptized. Sometimes I think we have it too easy around here in America. Maybe one of the best things would happen if we had a little persecution. Maybe we'd find out who the real Christians are. But he says, listen, he says, those that believe and are baptized, they believe and they know it. That's not afraid to tell everybody that they're saved, who they are. But he says, but he that believeth not shall be damned. By the way, that means baptism alone will not save you. Infants cannot believe. So infant baptism thus cannot save anybody. Baptism is simply that outward expression before man of the inward belief of the heart. I've had people say, well, I don't want to stand up in front of everybody. Well, Jesus, I always tell them, Jesus hung naked on the cross while he was dying for your sins. If you can't get wet, if you can't get your hair wet in front of people who love you and understand what you're doing, well, I don't know. I'm trying to be mean, but that's just a fact. And let me say this. There is a new life in Christ, but watch me. Belief comes first. Now hang, watch out. Now watch me. Just kind of follow with me. Look at verse 17. Well, verse 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. It didn't say these people will believe once they've seen the signs. Now, signs does help, I understand. But he said, now you're my people. You want to see God do something big in your life. You want to see God do something supernatural in your life. Now, I'm not saying we're going to walk around healing everybody and look at where the healers are. He's not looking for that. But you listen, you want to see God do something, a big change in your life. Fix that marriage. Fix that relationship. Listen, I don't know, physical, financial, I don't know what it may be. But if you want to see God do something big, he says, the signs follow them that believe. These things that show up in the life of those that believe. All right, verse 17. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, it didn't say everybody's going to have all those signs. And a lot of those signs were temporary signs to show that God had his hand on them. But on the other hand, what my point is here, you want to see God do something miraculous, the belief comes first. We say, well, I'll see God do something miraculous, then I'll believe. Now you go back to Paul, says, do all speak in tongues, are all healers? Or all, no, they're not. He's just saying, these are some of the types of things. So I really think that we can transfer this principle. The fact is, you believe, you'll see God do something that only God can do. Verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and watch, and confirming the word with the signs following. What's he saying? They went out believing and preached, gave the word of God, and the fact is, things started happening. They could see the hand of God on them. The signs followed them. The signs went with them. It was part of what they were, but the fact is it wasn't the signs. The signs confirming the word. Confirming the word with the signs following. It doesn't say that the belief follows the signs. It says that the signs follow the belief. By the way, Matthew 12:38 says, then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered Jesus, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. What's he saying? I've given you my word, now believe it. You don't need some kind of special little sign so that you'll believe and go do what you're supposed to do. You want to see God do something? Believe and move. Start doing something. As soon as I see him doing something, then I'll start. No. You have his word. You have his directions. You have the commandments. That's what we do first. And then you see God doing it. Now, I'm only going to use this because it hits us where it hurts. People say, well, as soon as God starts blessing me financially, I'll start tithing. Right? That's what we say. I'm not trying to be mean here. It just hits me. It hits us where it hurts. That's all. You know, well, I can't tithe. I don't have any money. You don't have any money because you're not tithing. There are folks in this room I think could testify. If I ask you to testify, there's folks in here who would testify. This is not, I got to hate to admit this, but it happened. Because of some things we were doing at the bank, I ended up with a piece of paper in my hand. And I hate to even say this, but it was listing how much our income is. And the fact is, it listed what the people give. And I never wanted to even know that. But I'm going to tell you something here that I learned. There are people in here that you would think have no money to tithe, but they do. And the Lord's providing for them. I mean, I know what some folks make. There's no way in the world they should be able to keep a roof over their head and tithe at the same time. But God takes care of them. That's a terrible thing. I didn't want to even know those things. But in a way, it blessed my heart because you know what? I see how God blesses. The belief first, the signs following. And the signs, of course, then confirm what he's been saying all along. Now, there's a new life in Christ. Do you believe in having a new life in Christ? You must believe in the new life in order to have the new life. I'm sorry, it's just the way it works. If you cannot believe, watch, if you cannot believe in the resurrection of Jesus' life, how are you going to believe in the new start or resurrection of your own life? Why should they have believed? They didn't see the evidence. No, Jesus told them what was going to happen, and it happened just like he said. They took him on his word. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Offers pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. And we sang that song, you probably thought, what in the world does that have to do with Easter? Jesus says, take my word for it. The problem was they didn't believe the word of God. He didn't understand. I'm going to go down to Jerusalem. They are going to kill me, but on the third day I'm going to rise again. And the fact is, if you go back and look at that scripture in the different gospels, do you know what the next thing that you see happening? He said, I'm going down, they're going to abuse me, they're going to crucify me, the third day I'm going to rise again. And they're over here saying, I wonder which one's going to be the biggest guy, the biggest chief bottle washer in God's kingdom. Wonder which one's going to be able to sit on the right, which one's going to be sit on the left. He said, I'm going to go down, they're going to crucify me, the third day I'm going to rise again. Yeah. I wish I had my mom come over and tell Jesus that I wanted a spot there next to Jesus. Man, I missed that one. They're so busy with the selfishness, self-serving mentality that the Word of God just went whoosh. And then when everything fell apart, they didn't know how to handle it. The hardness of their heart. It's interesting. It says another. It talks about the hardness of a heart at another time. And they're talking about the same type thing right after Jesus had just fed 5,000 people. And it went whoosh, right over their head. He even gave them each a basket. There was 12 baskets full to take home. And so there they stand with their basket after feeding 5,000 from one little sack lunch, and they're missing it. Listen, this is going to sound crazy. They are so busy thinking about what they're going to get out of being a follower of Jesus that they don't get anything. You catching me? And if we're not careful, we'll do the exact same thing. Well, is a preacher going to say something funny? I get so bored when he just talks about the Bible, reads all the scripture. I hope he's having a good night and he's funny tonight. I hope the special music's extra good tonight because, you know, I'm a little bit tired. We didn't get our sanctified nap in the afternoon. I sure hope, you know what we really need around here? We need a basketball league. That'll help our church. I'm not saying we can't play basketball, but that's not the gospel. And we're so busy worrying about what we're going to get, the Word of God is going, whoosh. Man, if we walked into the wind, it would whistle. We're missing it. Thomas said, if I see, I will believe. At the end of John 20, verse 28, it says, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. You heard me read a little earlier. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. The verse goes on, verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe. Said, I wrote this down that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Said, I wrote this down so that you could believe. And if you believe, then you'll have the life. But if you're looking for the life and you don't believe, you'll never see it. The word is written so we might believe. Do you believe? Do you believe that God can do what he says? Jesus told them he was going to rise again. The response was, that must not be what he meant. He must have meant something else or something figuratively. I don't know what it was. The ladies figured out what Jesus meant. Or, don't you believe that God can preserve his word? And thus what he said is truly God's word. So, well, you know, it's a book written by a bunch of men a long time ago. I don't know if we can trust it. Oh, you got a little God. You got a little God. This is the same book that the Great Awakening came from. The revivals over the years. This is the same word. Same word of God. Don't mess with it. Don't go back looking for some other translation, some other manuscripts. Don't go there. Aim up with what you got here. He gave us, we're supposed to believe his word. Now, if we're supposed to live by every word we receive out of the mouth of God, then somewhere that has to be. Or God's a liar. So maybe you don't believe that God can do what he says. Or maybe you don't believe what he says here is even true because you're not sure it's his word. Or maybe we just haven't been listening. Jesus says, if you will believe, you will see. You can see a new life. You can live a new life. but you must believe what God has said first. The power of God, the signs of His might, follow those that believe. One last illustration. There was a day when the sons of God came before God, and Satan also came. And God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" "Oh, well, Job just serves you because you put a hedge around him and you just take good care of him." He said, "Listen, you can take everything he's got, he'll still stay with me." So he takes everything he has, and Job, he had a hard time, but he stuck with the Lord. "Well, he's still got his health. You know, if you take his health away, he won't stay." So he took away his health. It was hard. He said, "I will not curse him with my tongue." It was hard for him. And he never did. You read a book. It never says he ever found out why he had the hard time. It would have been at least God could have said, "Well, Job, boy, you did a good job. I just wanted to show you old Satan boy there that there are some people who actually believe first. And they're getting blessed because they believe. They're not believing because they're blessed." But he didn't even get to know that. But he didn't need to, because he believed first. He says, "The worms may eat this flesh, may eat me, yet in my flesh I shall see him." He said, "I know." Job, probably the first book written, the oldest book of the Bible probably. He says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and in this flesh I shall see him." He believed first. Do you believe? Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this evening. Thank you for doing a work. Simple thought. But Lord, there it is. Many years I thought, what's the big deal about the resurrection? Lord, if there's no resurrection, there's no life. Thank you for what you do. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.